Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At 425 today on Grant and Danny, Scott Turner talked with the media in Ashburn. He's actually going to be calling plays from the sideline this year rather than being up in the booth as he has been. We'll discuss what he said and that change, but also areas where we feel really good about Turner after a couple of years here in D.C. and some of the areas where we think he could improve as a play caller and play designer. We'll get to that coming up at 425 right here on Grant and Danny. It is time for our Beltway Blitz, though, covering the teams and stories in town that you guys care the most about. So let's start things off on the diamond. We'll get to the NFL and the Commanders in this segment, but we start with the Nats and one of the voices of Nationals baseball here on The Fan, our buddy Dave Jagler. Jags, awesome to finally see one of the kids from the system get called up, and it was C.J. Abrams, who was just acquired in the Juan Soto deal last night, who made his debut. What'd you think?
Well, he is a quick-twitch athlete. I mean, that's what we had been told about him as far as the scouting report. He covers ground from side to side. He made a play in the seventh inning in a tie game to get the third out, ranging far to his left, up the middle, from shallow center through across his body to get the third out. And that's a play that that nobody who's played shortstop this year, be it veteran or youngster, would have been able to make. Now, there was a throwing error and a couple of throwing issues earlier in the game. First game jitters, perhaps, but I think you're going to see like what you see with him out there. And again, hopefully get his feet wet offensively and allow him to use his speed, because he can be a game changer if he can get on base.
What's he going to be, Jags, when he's fully formed and, you know, he's used to the major leagues and he's settling into his prime? Well, obviously, you mentioned it. The athletic skill set is just off the charts, how quick he is, how fast he is. You want him to obviously be able to harness that. What kind of player is he going to be?
You know, to me, it looks like, Danny, he can fill out a little bit. I mean, we were kind of talking with Davey Martinez yesterday, first chance for Davey to kind of get eyes on him. And he expressed surprise at how big he is, just height-wise. I think there's room to grow on that frame. So maybe you could see some more power in that package as well without losing the athleticism. I mean, he's so raw, though. I mean, he kind of has that Michael Taylor baby face look about him. He's 21, but he looks like he might be about 16. I think he's just got a lot of room to grow and a lot of ways to get better.
Jag, speaking of call-ups, Cade Cavalli on Saturday, while I was at Nats Park watching Anibal Sanchez lower his season ERA to 7.2, struck out 11 in 7 innings, a 3-hit ball in AAA, to lower his ERA to 1.4 over his last 30-plus innings at AAA. He's now made 25 AAA starts, the 24-year-old right-hander. Why do you think he's not in the big leagues yet, and do you think we'll see him this season?
I do. I don't know the answer as to why. I mean, not having eyes on him, I haven't really asked anybody about him recently. I think the one thing that they wanted him to develop and master before he got called up was the changeup. I mean, I think when he blew through A ball and Double A last year, he was just overpowering guys. Obviously ran into some roadblocks at the end of last season and early this season. And when you get to this level, and I think we're seeing this with Josiah Gray, who doesn't really have a changeup and isn't really throwing it, you know, you need that third quality pitch just to give the hitters a different look. And I know they're trying to get him to throw it more. I know when they sent Yoana Doan down, they wanted him to throw his changeup more. Ultimately, I think they'd like Gray to throw a changeup more. So, you know, to me, that's just my guess as to maybe why he's not here. But I think the results are showing that he's knocking on the door, and you'd like to see him get his feet wet here before the end of the season, along with another guy who was acquired in the Soto Bell trade, Mackenzie Gore, who's just dealing with some elbow issues. He's been playing catch here. To me, if you can have a September with Gore and Cavalli in the rotation, that would be an interesting watch for the last month of the season.
Jags, credit to Patrick Corbin for taking the ball every fifth day, but the results, you mentioned those, just simply haven't been there. I imagine everyone's kind of pulling their hair out to find a fix because he's here. He's making an awful lot of money, and for them to be good within the next couple of years, he's got to figure it out, and they've got to figure out what to do with him. Just what do you think here down the stretch? Some things for him to work on.
Well, I mean, if they had the answer, they would have done it, you know, here in 2020, 21, or 22. I mean, unfortunately, you know, he was kind of, as he was struggling, you know, it would be five innings, four runs, six and a third, five runs. You know, recently it's been two-thirds of an inning and seven runs. And unfortunately, it's put the rest of the pitching staff in really harm's way. And, I take it for what it's worth. Davey Martinez said he had an exceptional bullpen session the other day. I will be interested to see what, if anything, is different, if he's going to rely more on his fastball, if he's going to pitch a little differently as far as sequencing. I don't know the answer to that, but I think right now they're searching for answers because, again, in his starts, getting knocked out in the first inning, two out of three, has cost guys being sent down to the minor leagues, and it's put a lot of strain on the bullpen, which for a good chunk of the year has been a strength of the team.
Yeah, I think I might go over to BetMGM before the game and put a bet down that he gets out of the first. I think I'll get some decent odds on that, perhaps. Hey, Jags, thank you. Much appreciated.
Good to talk to you guys.
Listen to Dave and to Charlie. They do an unbelievable job calling Nats games, and it has been a blast to watch them all season long in the booth at Nats Park. All right, let's move along. Beltway Blitz. Men Brown, PFF. Lot to dive into from this first week of preseason football. Kenny Pickett's numbers were outstanding. I saw the highlights. He made some big-time throws. What'd you think of his debut for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've liked it from a PFF grading perspective, obviously. You know, high number of snaps with which to evaluate him. Kind of a low average depth to target and got the ball out relatively quickly. So I think it'll be interesting once they kind of get, some of those injured guys completely up to speed back in the fold. If they kind of, maybe take the training wheels off a little bit of Kenny Pickett in this offense. But I do think that, initial signs point to him being a pretty decent quarterback with which they can definitely work with in that division.
Another unproven gentleman, Trey Lance. Listen, really, really tiny sample size, but that first preseason game, pretty encouraging, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he made, the one throw downfield that everyone's going to look at, the highlight reel type throw. I did think he was maybe a little bit behind or delayed on his read on that 3rd-and-9 out route. Did miss the receiver a little bit on that. Didn't give him enough space along the sidelines. But, yeah, I mean, for the small sample size, I think there is quite a bit of upside potential in that 49ers offense, given his rushing ability and those throws that he can make over the top that, Garoppolo probably just wasn't making game in and game out like Trey Lance is definitely capable of. So I do think, given the fact that he can definitely capture some of that upside, they are looking like, the perennial NFC team, I would say, at this point.
New Giants head coach Brian Daboll said that Tyrod Taylor is going to get some reps with the first team at some point. And he made it clear to say this has nothing to do with Daniel Jones and that this is something I like to do based on some of my previous stops. Thing or not a thing?
I think it's kind of a thing already, to be honest with you. I do think, everyone needs to and wants to project a Daniel Jones leap forward here. From what we've seen so far, it's been, kind of hit or miss a little bit. So I don't mind them, seeing what Tyrod Taylor has available. I do think that he, is consistently thought of as, the top backup in the NFL. And I do think that he, in the right scheme, and Daboll definitely brings that, could be pretty efficient at an offense given all the playmakers that they have around him. So I don't mind giving a look, and I do think that if they do go that direction, their potential still is pretty great, I would say, with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback.
So, Ben, I'm bullish on the Ravens this year. The caveat, of course, is that division is just a buzzsaw with, who knows what Cleveland's going to be. You got the Cincinnati, the defending runner-ups. Pittsburgh is never bad. We sort of already talked about Pickett. They lost their last six games, Baltimore did. Five of those were by a total of 8 points. Just normal regression says they win a couple of those games and have a much different season as they were racked by injuries. What's going to derail them and what's going to make me right?
Yeah, definitely. I do, and I agree with you, and I do think, we haven't really seen an outlier-type performance from a team from an injury standpoint like we saw with, the 2021 Ravens. So just from that perspective, they're going to be a lot better than what they were last year. I do think that, some of the pieces they are still getting back, Marcus Peters activated as well, big-time shutdown cornerback. I think they can definitely get there now. The one concern I have, of course, can Lamar Jackson kind of handle, not really having any sort of semblance of an outside wide receiver winning routes. They need Rashad Bateman to step up. If he doesn't, they turn into this offense that relies too heavily on Lamar Jackson and that tight end position. I do think that probably stagnates it and allows team to kind of, hone in on him, stopping him, because there's not going to be any real deep threat in that offense. So I think that's maybe the candidate for why they don't live up to expectations. But I think Lamar Jackson's shown enough big play type of potential with both to the point where I don't think that's probably going to be the likely outcome they experience in 2022.
PFF's Ben Brown. Tom Brady is away from the Bucs, and he will be for a week and a half in the middle of training camp to be with his family. And initially the thought was, well, someone's sick or something's going on. And so everyone just kind of said, all right, let's leave this alone and not talk about it. But then there was at least some reporting that said, actually, this is a pre-planned thing that was kind of baked in with his decision to come out of retirement. So I say all that just to ask you, what the heck is going on? I understand that, like, Nolan Ryan had his own rules, and he stayed at his own hotels and did his own flights and all that stuff. But to leave camp for 10 days in the middle of camp, if it really is just pre-planned because you do think it's a better balance for you, that's unprecedented, and that's pretty crazy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's difficult, right? And I do think, the fact that they are kind of banged up at the wide receiver position, you obviously want him to get, some reps with some of these other guys in case that kind of does carry on into the season. So I don't necessarily love it. I do think, like you mentioned, the Nolan Ryan comparison, that's great, but I think the quarterback is so crucial to the overall effectiveness of the offense, where a pitcher can kind of come in, do his thing, be on cadence with the catcher, and it's not a huge deal. But the fact that football, I think, is a little bit more of a team sport from a quarterback perspective, it is a little bit concerning. And, of course, Tom Brady does deserve preferential and special treatment, but the fact that it wasn't at least more of this like hush-hush type thing, I do think that it could potentially create some issues further on down the road. So I don't love it, but I think, you got to live with what Tom Brady's willing to do at this point in time.
Ben, thank you, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Yeah, man. Talk soon. Hit that commander sounder, Darius. Commanders. ABC 7's Scott Abraham joins us here on G&D, talking Commanders on the Beltway Blitz. Scott, biggest takeaways from preseason game number one?
Well, everybody's buzzing. Everybody's talking about him. Brian Robinson Jr. I've seen him for the last couple of weeks in practice, and I was like, my gosh, he is a big dude. He hits the hole hard. He runs hard. And he took his opportunity on Saturday and made the most of it. He jumped off the screen. He looks good. He's going to get more opportunities. He caught a pass out of the backfield. He was decisive in his cuts. He's just going to grow from here. I'm really excited about Brian Robinson Jr.
Hey, Scott, I would be remiss if we didn't ask you because Danny was out, but I had to end up talking a lot, which is abnormal, about friends in the media this past week with what happened between you and Carson Wentz and I thought over the top comments of Jason Wright on social media. Where are we at with that? Have you talked to him? I just haven't talked to you since on air. What are your thoughts on what happened?
Yeah, certainly. I respect your question. Basically, I stand by my interview. My station stands behind my interview. I stand behind my questioning. I encourage everybody, go on our website, wjlay.com/sports, if you want to watch the full 11-minute interview with Carson Wentz. The best part of this country, guys, is we have a voice and we're allowed to share our opinion or express what we believe on certain topics. And Jason Wright, he had what he had to say. It's his right. I'm moving on. The team is moving on. And that's where we stand.
Reasonable. And I just thought it was worth asking you while we had you on here for the first time. You're a regular with us.
I respect it.
And you will be on the Blitz with us all season long. All right, let's talk ball then and get back to it. So Sam Howell, at quarterback, you've seen practices. That was the first time I've seen him since I watched him in North Carolina, to be completely honest. I was really, really impressed. It wasn't perfect, but I don't know. There might be something there. What'd you think of him?
To counter that, yes, great, awesome. But it's also against, third-teamers, fringe guys that could play in the NFL. I see what you're seeing, Grant. Okay, there's something there. Okay, but I don't know if it can be there against number one top flight defenses. Okay,
totally.
He has the skill set. He has some improvisation that kind of impressed me too. And he made some big throws. So he could be a practice MVP, a third team MVP. Come talk to me when you throw him to the Wolves and he's facing, you know, that Cowboys first team defense or the Eagles first team defense. Fans have a right to be excited and there should be some buzz. But right now, this is Carson Wentz's team. They have to get behind Carson. In my opinion, he is the most important player on this team. The team is going to go as far as Carson Wentz takes them. I think it's nice that we've seen some glimpses. It's very early of Sam Howell, but this team is Carson Wentz's.
Scott, you mentioned first-team defenses. Hard to be impressed with Washington's first-team defense. Down 10-0 before you could blink. You know, if it wasn't for a fumbled snap on a second down, looks like Carolina, you know, might have had another touchdown there to boot. They marched right down the field. Just hard to feel good about this group that underachieved so much last year.
Yeah, again, it's early, Danny, but you saw it kind of rear its ugly head again because remember last year, guys, they couldn't get off the field on third down. That was such a big struggle. And what happened on Carolina's opening drive? I think they were 3 for 3 on third down conversions. Yeah, certainly they bent, but they didn't break. But there are some concern and some alarming tendencies that are starting to come to fruition. Listen, Saturday is going to be a huge test. You know Patrick Mahomes, that Chiefs offense, one of the best in the league. They're probably going to play a quarter and a half. So this first-team defense of Washington will be in the spotlight again against Patrick Mahomes and company.
Yeah, you know, you keep forgetting that based on the fact that it's week two of the preseason, we probably not only will see Mahomes, but maybe for a good chunk of football. So it's going to be a great test, to your point, to see that
right,
defense.
Right, because remember, guys, usually, traditionally, we've had 4 preseason games, but now it's only 3 preseason games. So arguably, these first-team players, they're not going to play that final preseason game against Baltimore or whoever the Chiefs play. So this is probably the final test for the coaches to see how their starters reacted in real game situations.
Scott, thank you as always, buddy, man. Really appreciate the time.
Yep, see you, fellas.
Be good. There's Scott Abraham of Channel 7 Sports in town on our Beltway Blitz. Zach Wilson, week one status update came down this afternoon. Might he be on the field when the season begins for the New York Jets when they open the year? We'll get into that next. Plus, remember, offensive coordinator Scott Turner talked to the media today in Ashburn. What did he have to say? We'll dive into that on Grant and Danny in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
G&D, this is The Fan. Welcome back. With you until 6:30 tonight. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com at 6 o'clock. An hour and a half from right now. Can Patrick Corbin get out of the first inning tonight? And what should we expect from C.J. Abrams for the rest of this season? We'll ask Mark those two questions in a quick Nats conversation ahead of our Nats pregame show at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05. NFL heavy, 5 o'clock hour, including our underrated and overrated teams in both conferences. Looking forward to those discussions. Danny, I was just in the studio talking to Darris and Ryan during the break, And the Eagles-Jets game is on. Preseason action from this weekend. You'll remember that Zach Wilson got hurt in that game. By the way, the update today is fantastic for the Jets. Sounds like Wilson's procedure could not have gone better. Rich Samimi of The Athletic saying arthroscopic knee surgery deemed a success. I think it's with ESPN, actually. There were no surprises from the original diagnosis. They won't put him on the field until he's 100%. Timetable's not certain yet. But it does sound like the Jets are now expecting he'll be able to play in week one.
Best possible news. And if he sits out a week or two, still, that's better than what we all kind of thought in that first moment when he goes down after a cut, non-contact injury, we're all going, oh, crap. It's that, you know, it's the blank CL monster, and that means he's going to, you know, be out for some time. So that is incredible news. It's good, man. I want something good to happen to that franchise. And listen, we deserve it first. It's our turn, obviously. But still, that's a nice young prospect, and I'd like to see him in year two.
No, it kind of takes one to know one, and miserable, downtrodden, right. Nothing good happens.
We know you.
Football fan bases can relate. Yeah, I'm with you. And I also like the kid, and I really, really loved him coming out of school, and I think highly of the prospect. I mean, I think Zach Wilson's going to be a really, really good quarterback. I love the tools. You're athletic and a play extender and have a big arm. Why not? And then when he went down, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. He was ultra disappointing in year one, and now maybe he's going to miss all of year two. But that's not the case. Sounds like they are going to get him on the field really, really early this season and maybe even for their opening drive on week one, which would be great. But anyway, I'm watching this preseason game, Jets and Eagles, and I watched just a series, not even, but a handful of plays while I'm talking to those guys during the commercial break. And I'd already seen this game, and I was telling them, I'm like, did you guys see how good N'Kobe Dean was? And then while we're standing there, back-to-back plays just going sideline to sideline, he made two really nice, for a veteran linebacker, stops where he just shoots his gun, he gets downhill, he blows something up at the line of scrimmage. Stuff that Jamin Davis couldn't do at any point last year. It will never make sense to me how some of these guys fall. I know there was a medical scare with him, but he was drafted in the third round. Mm-hmm. There was some thought. I know when we were taking calls, a lot of people were hoping Washington might, if they went defense, would draft him at 16, and I wanted a wide receiver. But when he was there in the second round, I was giddy about the possibility of taking him. And I think they even made a couple more picks before he ultimately got drafted. You know he's going to be Jeremiah Trotter 2.0. He's just going to be this great Eagles Mike linebacker who makes 160 tackles a year for the next 6 years. He looks like the real deal.
Yeah, and I saw a video the other day of Jordan Davis unblockable in some, now with some drill, you know. But
oh, from
still,
their scrimmage? That was hilarious. He like lifted the guy up and just basically, it looked like me, my son Truman is 18 pounds. It looks like when I have to lift him up with my hands underneath of his armpits and kind of carry him to his crib or something or take him to change. That's what Jordan Davis was doing to an NFL center.
It just, again, one of those things where everyone's going to go in a couple years. Can you believe those guys were in the same draft? Can you believe the Eagles? Look at what the Eagles were able to do this past offseason. You know what I mean? A team that like is on the rise, that made the playoffs last year, was just okay. Think about their offseason approach versus Washington's offseason approach, right? All in, money for A.J. Brown, going to get the wide receiver. Yes, Jordan Davis. Yes, N'Kobe Dean and company. They're poised to take a leap, man. I think everyone who passed on Jordan Davis is going to regret it. That dude, I think, is going to be a monster.
Yeah, and he is, according to most, the knock was a two-down guy, like not a big-time third-down pass rusher. Might not be on the field a whole lot. Yeah, let's wait and see on that. Because I tell you right now, if he could stay on the field or rush the quarterback at all, then you're talking about one of the better D-tackles in the league quickly.
Yeah.
But
I think he's just
going to
pick up, he's just going to pick that truck stick move, that Matt Ioannidis, pick up the offensive lineman and just back him into the quarterback's eyepiece a couple times. I'll find something for that guy to do on passing downs. Sorry, go ahead. Tell me about Dean.
Well, you're right about Jordan Davis, but he was the 13th overall pick in the draft. I mean, it's not like he fell. It's not like he went in the second round, right? I mean, the Eagles got aggressive and said, we love this guy, we're going to take him. Just as an example, he went three picks before Washington's first selection of Jahan Dotson. The N'Kobe Dean thing to me is interesting because teams needed linebackers all over the league and were drafting them and not the guy who was the great player on the best defense in decades. You know, maybe one of the greatest college defenses ever at Georgia. He was the heart and the soul and the leader and maybe their best overall player as it was, but maybe it was a lack of people seeing it project, or he's only 6 foot 225, or maybe it was the health scares. I don't really know. I know that he went 83rd overall. So it wasn't like early third round. We're talking about the back half of the third round before he got drafted.
Yeah, Chad Muma from Wyoming went ahead of him. I'm sure.
It just doesn't make sense to me how that could happen. And I know we've legislated this and we don't need to redo it now, but if they have problems at linebacker all year long, I'm going to bring this up a couple times. If that guy's
should be brought up all the time.
He's going to be. The third pick they made, because I think they moved back before they took Brian Robinson, was actually after N'Kobe Dean. So they only took Dotson, and they needed a receiver, and then Fidarian Mathis in round two. Mathis is the one where there's just no way you can convince me he'll eventually be a more impactful or better player than N'Kobe Dean. But what would they be without him? I mean, and they made this problem. They created their own issue by letting Tim Settle
leave. Especially important.
And cutting Matt Ioannidis, who just came back with Carolina. So he's their third guy. I mean, he's going to play, I don't know, 40% of snaps or something in their rotation. He's going to play a ton as their third defensive tackle. They created this need, but, man, would it have been nice if you didn't have that need. You could have just, I don't know, drafted to get better at, say, the place where you're desperate, linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, it's all roster management. I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Years ago, you'll recall, there was a guy named Fred Smoot who was a cornerback for Washington. They decided they didn't want to pay him for some reason, whatever that reason was. He was perfectly good as a corner. So they created the need, drafted Carlos Rogers, and passed on a guy named DeMarcus Ware that would torment them for a decade plus. They also liked Ware, for the record. But they said, well, we need the cornerback. And, you know, they didn't check Rogers' eyes. We know the whole story. So they've been doing this time in memoriam. It's where organizations that kind of can't get right always seem to find themselves in with bad management. I would have rather paid Tim Settle, you know, a couple of hot dogs and a high five. He got paid punter money to go play in Buffalo to be your number three defensive tackle, not had to then draft somebody to replace him. And as you say, kind of continue to build this roster, especially at a place where, I don't know, they have two NFL players at linebacker at this point, are just basically like, yeah, we're better off just playing extra safeties. We're just not going to do three linebackers ever. It's so weird. I don't see what they see.
I want to acknowledge, just on behalf of the team, if I could, to just be as fair as we could be, that you can play this game, I think, with every organization every year in the draft when you look back, that you didn't take this guy or you created this problem and then you didn't draft this guy. But it does seem like a reoccurring theme here for sure. I mean, they cut Troy Apke today, and it means they have one player left from their 2018 draft class. Mm-hmm. That's not that long ago. That's 4 years ago, and they have quite literally one player left now from that class. Scott Turner talked with the media today. I wanted to play a couple of these clips and then have a Turner convo with you. Let's start with Turner addressing the media. Rare opportunity for him at the podium during camp on Carson Wentz. How has he performed so far leading up to the season? This is what the OC thinks.
Carson's been outstanding. You know, he's an outstanding communicator. You know, we've had great back and forth. He really, you know, it's important to him. Obviously, football's important to him. Just going back, starting even in the offseason, you know, he'd go right in to learn, you know, learn our offense and learn what we do, you know, get to know his teammates. And every day you can see, you know, that comfort level of his increasing. And I've been, you know, really pleased with that. You know, the work he's done with his teammates, getting to know them, just getting a feel for, you know, how they play, the guys he's throwing the ball to. And I just feel like, you know, he's getting comfortable and in turn, you know, we're getting better.
That was Scott Turner on Carson Wentz, which, you know, based on some of the reporting that was coming out and some of the struggles, you know, maybe you would have had a harder time kind of believing every word of that, but you just saw him play and he looked comfortable and he was accurate and he did seem like he'd had a decent little rapport going with the members of this offense, which was ideal. I was really curious to see what he was going to say about Antonio Gibson, Danny, after he fumbled on his second carry. He was asked about that fumble. This is what Turner had to say today about his projected starting running back.
One of the first things that we talk about when we get together as an offensive training camp starter is protect the football. You know, we can't waste possessions. You know, and obviously, if you fumble the ball, that's a waste of a possession. So, you know, that's a ball carrier's first job is to protect the ball. So, you know, we can't have that. He knows that. I'm not saying anything to you guys that hasn't already been said to Antonio. I read his comments. I know he said the same thing, and it's something that has to be fixed.
And it's something that they said had to be fixed last year, which makes you wonder about Brian Robinson, who looked so good in his preseason debut, and Turner was asked about the young running back from Alabama.
Brian's been great. He's a real serious guy. Football is extremely important. He takes a lot of pride in being a physical runner, but he can run too. And I was happy and impressed with the way that he ran. Some things, he wasn't perfect on his tracks and stuff like that, but he runs so hard, he's still able to gain positive yardage. That's great to see from him back, and I think he'll continue to get better too as the reps increase. I mean, that's his first time ever playing in a game where you're getting tackled in the league.
Easy to see that you're just to hear the tone, right? Where Turner's sort of lighting up talking about Robinson, right? Like the game's important. It was a real serious guy. These are like work habit things more so than, he played well in this game where he saw the hole or kind of did that there. Whereas you're still sort of like shaking your head thinking about Antonio Gibson going, man, we got to clean that up. We got to fix that fumble thing. It's the same thing. And it sounds like a frustrated parent or teacher, something like that. But then you're talking big picture with Robinson. I just thought that was interesting.
I want to play the clip next of Turner saying that he's going to be calling plays on the sideline instead of from the booth and why he's deciding to move down. That was a story a couple years ago when he was up in the booth and he felt like maybe it helped him see more things and see coverages. Well, now he's doing the opposite. So I want to see how they explain that. But also, want to get into some of his strengths and areas where we want to see him improve this year. If you want to discuss Washington's offense and their third-year offensive coordinator and play caller, Scott Turner, now is the time to do it. You can hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Came back and hit the ground running. Still the ultimate competitor. Wants to win. Gonna be physical. Gonna go get the ball. Just the same old stuff for Terry. And just the way he's been working, he's continuing to get better too. Because he is going into his fourth year, and he's really ascending as a player. And even rated be better than he has been.
Commanders offensive coordinator Scott Turner talking about Terry McLaurin today in Ashburn. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. 525, we're giving you our underrated and overrated teams in the NFC. 545, our underrated and overrated teams in the AFC. At 6 o'clock, Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, stops by from Nationals Park for a quick chat with his pals on the local ball club. But without further ado, 800-636-1067 is the number. We wanted to hear from you guys on Scott Turner in this offense. Here was the last clip I wanted to play, which was his explanation for why he's going to come down from the booth to the sideline and he's going to be in the mix calling the plays from field level this year. Here is what Scott Turner said.
The communication, I think the communication, obviously with Carson, but also just with the other guys on the offense, just being able to speak directly to them if there's something that I need to say is huge, you know. And then being down in there, being, you know, you're kind of more, you feel like you're a little bit more part of the game, that part is important. But the number one thing is just having the communication mainly. It's something I've been thinking about really over the course of the entire offseason, even, you know, since the season ended. You know, do I want to make that change? At practice, you know, there's things that me and Carson talk about that I think are really valuable for myself and for him. You know, just how he's seeing things and hearing it directly from him, not, you know, through another person, or not having to get him on the phone or, you know, have somebody give him a headset. You know, and then stuff that I could say to him, and then that really confirmed it, where it's like, hey, I think this is important to have that direct line of communication. And talked to Coach Revere about it, he was all for it, so just decided to go with it.
To me, it just sounds like that's what Carson Wentz wants, right? I mean, Wentz maybe just has that preference where he came here and they talked about it, and Turner said, yeah, I'm normally in the booth. I'd rather you go over those charts with me. I'd rather, when you see that video of Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and all those guys pointing at those charts, you know, Kirk Cousins loves that little iPad, that little screen. He wants Scott Turner sitting right next to him, helping him out. And it, whatever the quarterback wants, the quarterback gets. This whole year should be about making Carson Wentz comfortable and allowing him to be at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I mean, I've remembered this story, not with Scott Turner specifically, but the offensive coordinator changing from the field to the booth and telling us why that was the better way to do it. I've remembered it going the other direction. They all run together. Whatever the old way was, of course, was wrong, and this allows this whole new wonderful possibility to open up. It's six of one, half dozen of the other. It really is. You know, there's probably a way that you would say being in the booth gives you a different picture, that higher view where you can maybe see what defenses are doing a bit more easily. The, you know, down low, you get better communication. Again, there are strengths and weaknesses to all things. It really comes down to what you just said, is the preference of the quarterback. If it's a guy that's got some juice, if it's like a rookie, I don't care what you want. You'll do what we want, please and thank you. But I guarantee you, Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator, whoever he wants to talk to, is where Aaron Rodgers would like him. So yeah, that it makes sense to me.
So we'll get to the things we like and need improved from Scott Turner coming up. And I've actually got a stat here, analytically speaking, that I think is just from a play calling standpoint, I would really, really like to see change this year. As someone who thinks pretty highly of how Scott Turner views the game, there's just an area where when you stack them up against 32 teams, they don't fare favorably. And it's based on percentage of times you're calling certain plays. Like, that's something you control. So we'll get into that, and I'll explain at the top of the hour. Let's go to Ashton in Silver Spring. Ashton, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing?
Doing good, great. Buddy. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, so to be honest, it doesn't matter to me whether he's on the field or in the booth. I just need to see him open up that playbook. It's the first time we have a quarterback with – well, he has a quarterback with a strong arm. I want to see those deep posts, those vertical routes. You know, just get that deep downfield to, you know, just show me something different than what I've been seeing the past 2 years.
Thanks, buddy. He makes a really good point about the quality of the quarterbacks that Turner has worked with here.
Yeah.
A lot of people – have already kind of written the book on Scott Turner or are negative in their critiques of him based on where they've ranked or yardage or points or whatever it is. When you're calling plays, and as good as it's gotten is Taylor Heinicke, which is a fact, by the way, the best quarterback performance they've gotten for any extended period of time where you'd qualify as a passer is Heinicke. You had a few throws, I think six passes from Fitzpatrick. I really liked Kyle Allen, but for some reason they thought Heinicke was way better than Kyle Allen, which I disagree with, but they know more football than I do. Whatever it was, though, Heinicke was the best that they had. Whether it was Haskins or running through some of the names of the last couple of years, it's kind of the island of misfit toys. They had a game where Garrett Gilbert started because everyone got COVID on the road in the division in a must-have game. I mean, it's been really, really ugly in that regard. So the fact that he finally has a quarterback who can throw the ball downfield with a big arm seems like a pretty helpful thing, and now we get to better evaluate Turner, which we can dive into in a second, Danny. But let's squeeze in one more call here. Marv in D.C. Marv, how are you?
Fine. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Marv?
I lean in the other direction. I remember two games from early last year when the team got the opening kickoff and marched down the field pretty efficiently. Nothing fancy, short passes, runs. They got to about the 20-yard line. In the first instance, he then called a reverse, which lost 10 yards. The next play, the quarterback got sacked. They ended up not even getting a field goal after having first down on the 20-yard line. The very next week, sort of the same thing happened. They took the opening kickoff and went down to, I don't know, between the 20 and 30-yard line. He called a quarterback screen, which not only wasn't completed, but resulted in a penalty. And from there, the drive just fizzled. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? Why is he going away from what's working and what's being efficient to pull out these, you know, plays out of the grab bag with some fancy play that ended up being a bust and killed the drive?
So I don't specifically remember the two examples.
Yeah, I don't remember those sequences.
Having said that, they were one of the last teams, if not the last team in the NFL last year, to score a first drive touchdown. It was a problem for them finishing, specifically starting games, and the first 15 script was not always kind to them. Whether or not those two things that you're remembering happened exactly that way, I don't really know what a quarterback screen is. Maybe that happened. I don't know. Having said all of that, though, Danny, they do have to score touchdowns at the beginning of games this year because it took
without
them,
question.
I want to say it was like 14 weeks last year before they were doing that. And you look at Kyle Shanahan and some of these coordinators around the league who will go 5, 6, 7 straight weeks with touchdowns on the opening drive. Like, that's the thing you get to draw up all week long. That's your Mona Lisa. And you can't have penalties. You got to be able to punch it across the goal line. It would help to have really good players, but they got better players now than they've had at any point under Turner.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So if my guy's not as good as your guy, as you sort of line up and deal with it, and you could go up and down the lineup, I'm going to get gimmicky. Probably, because if you just try to line up and play, you're not going to be very good. Now they've got some talent there. So you'd hope, you know, with a couple options in the passing game and a couple good running backs and maybe hopefully a healthy tight end room, you don't need to run a quarterback screen, whatever that play was, or a triple reverse, you know, the first time you get into the red zone. Maybe you could just, you know, get Terry one-on-one a couple times or you know, Logan Thomas on a jump ball. There's plenty of options now. Now I think we can really get an evaluation of Turner. I know last year at this time, we said that, talking about Fitzpatrick and a couple of their other ideas because Curtis Samuel was supposed to be healthy. But this year, I really do feel like we can get a full and fair evaluation.
I'm going to get to the things I really like about Scott Turner next, and then some areas where he's got to be better. And I've got this one stat I want to bounce off you, Danny, that I think actually is a really, really bad look. And I hope it was a fluky thing and not a sign of maybe philosophically how he feels about offense. So we'll get into those things next on Grant and Danny. Football heavy next hour right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.